Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. So welcome to our very first live broadcast.
The most exciting part.
It is. It's very exciting. I've been excited about this all day.
None of us knew.
You couldn't tell?
None of us could tell.
Man, no. I had to drive to Sebring this morning, and so it's about an hour and a half away. And
today it took 45 minutes.
The whole way I'm thinking, okay, so we're going to do this and we'll do that. It's going to be very, very exciting. So welcome, viewers, listeners, however this is getting to you. This is exciting.
I hope I have some students listening. Some students said they would be tuning in.
Yeah, well, that's great. So that's awesome.
That was good. We've discussed this topic a number of times in our classes, so they've been looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So if you're there, welcome aboard. Let me know.
So what we're going to do, hopefully, this will all work very smoothly. This is our first time doing this, so we're going to work out the wrinkles so that we can, because we have more of these planned, and so this is the first of series of a total of 8, I guess, that we're going to be doing on this particular topic.
On this topic, right.
So, and more to come. If this goes well, then we will definitely be doing more, because we love the idea of interacting. So if you're listening live and watching on YouTube, you should be able to link to a group chat that's available as part of the Google Hangout that we're in here. And you should be able to comment to us there, I'm hoping. Right. So, I'm going to be clicking around and looking at different things while we're doing this, just to make sure that, there we go. I got a little feedback there, because there we are also. That's interesting. So we will try to figure these things out. So I see, Noreen is in the group chat.
We know Noreen. Noreen.
That's right. Noreen, I hope it's not cold up there.
It's always cold.
Maybe it is always cold up there. So I'm wondering how much of a delay there is. She asked how much extra credit your students get. So we will.
Plenty.
It depends.
Plenty.
It depends.
Although they don't need extra credit because they've done so well this semester. So,
you know.
Unlike some others sitting at the. No, they've done. Our students have done well this semester.
Yes.
Yep. So.
So, all right. Well, but it looks like we have 5 listeners right now. 5 viewers. So let's go ahead and get started talking about this fascinating topic, because the book entitled has the same title, 13 Reasons Why, was published a number of years ago.
That was a number of years ago, right?
And I read it when it first came out and really enjoyed the book.
Yeah, my daughter read it a couple of years ago, which she would have been 15 or 16,
yeah.
And I didn't even know that she had read it
right.
when I saw it. I hadn't read it at that point, but she had read it, enjoyed the book. Right.
Yeah, the book is relatively, I'd say maybe relatively tame.
A little more, tamer, more benign.
Right.
Easier to digest at your own pace.
Right. Right. And so when I saw that the Netflix program was coming out, I was very excited to watch it, and noticed right away that it had a little bit of a different tone. Not a different tone, I don't think I would say, because the subject matter is exactly the same. But it just presents it quite differently.
It comes at you in a very different way.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss all these things. It's more graphic. But with a book, you can take a book a couple of pages at a time.
Right.
And you can digest it at your own pace.
Right.
A movie you digest at a constant pace.
Right.
And at somebody else's pace.
Absolutely.
So, there was a big difference in watching it versus reading it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So our goal for tonight is really just to kind of give a broad overview of the program, and we'll include some stuff about the book as well, and then really spend some time talking about what to expect if you have not yet watched the program, just to so you are a little bit prepared, because
certainly there are many people out there who want to watch the program but are not really sure what to expect because they've heard so many mixed reviews. Right. And so we'll talk a little bit about that and a little bit about what to do if you have discovered that you're teen or even right. your preteen. I saw some, mm-hmm. I heard people talking today about, you know, kids as young as even 10 and 11 years right. old who have seen it. And so we will talk about that as well.
This is certainly one of those books and particularly one of those videos where we hear all the yeah. time, parental discretion is advised.
Right.
If you have a child younger than 15 or 16, mm-hmm. and depending on the maturity level of your 15 or 16-year-old, right. this is one of those things where parental discretion is advised.
Yeah.
You should either watch it with your child or watch it first,
right.
and then watch it with your child.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is TVMA, so right. You know that going into
going
it.
Into
so,
it. Right.
So if you haven't heard yet, this program is the program opens up.
You're talking about
the TV show
the show 13 itself,
Reasons
not this program.
Not right.
You mean 13 Reasons.
That's right.
I'll do my best to
All right.
keep you.
My bad.
No, you're talking about 13 Reasons.
Right.
Okay.
13 Reasons opens up with you knowing that a girl yes. in this high school has committed suicide, and so. What happens from what happens very quickly it is you've discovered that this girl committed suicide, but she left behind a box of tapes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the tapes, there's on each side is one of her reasons for committing suicide or ending her life through suicide.
Hence the title.
Right. So the 13 reasons. And, mm-hmm. and it happens to be the case where each of the 13 reasons is a different person from her life.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Primarily other people from school.
Yes.
So there's other teenagers and things like that. And so throughout the program, throughout the 13 episodes, it kind of unfolds and you're living it through the eyes of one of the main characters that we'll talk about later. And he is really struggling with it. And he's been struggling with her suicide from the very beginning, and he is the recipient of the tapes at this time because what has to happen is the way that she leaves the instructions is a person who is on the first reason, he got the tapes first, and then he was instructed that he would then give it to the second person, right. the third person, and so
there's
on.
There's a sequence.
Right, yeah. mm-hmm. right. And it just so happens that we are getting it at tape 11.
Right.
Clay is number 11, mm-hmm. so and Clay is the other main character. So mm-hmm. that is how the program goes. And so it doesn't, what's really important for you to know if you haven't yet watched it is that it is graphic.
Graphic content, yes.
It's much of it, you know, especially for the first, maybe I would say 9 episodes or so, maybe 9 or 10 episodes. It's graphic, but it's high school graphic. Right. I would mm-hmm. say.
Right.
I mean, they're using curse words at the F word and talking about sex and talking about a lot of that stuff very, very openly, very, very in graphic detail, but in graphic detail that high school students would talk about.
The language is almost exactly what you would hear if you walk through a high school.
Right.
We're doing some work in a high school
mm-hmm.
This semester.
Right.
And when you walk through the halls, that's that is exactly the language that you hear.
Right.
So the language in this movie is the language that you would hear walking through most high school hallways today.
Right.
Okay. There's nothing prurient. There's nothing exaggerated about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how kids talk to each
right.
other
right.
in public schools, in schools.
Right. right? Mm-hmm. So there's that part, but so it's just important that you know that, you know, if you read the book, the book does not contain that type of language. It doesn't
right.
have much cursing in it at all. Mm-hmm. And so if you then watch the program thinking that it's going to resemble the book, it's right. going to be a surprise to you. So right. just know that going in.
Right.
The other thing is that this is a story about a girl who ends her life through suicide.
Mm-hmm.
That
But we're not giving anything away because you know that.
We know that from the very beginning.
Right.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, they talk about that. They talk about death. They talk about bullying. They talk about a lot of these things throughout the program. And so you're going to see sometimes in pretty good detail assaults and fights and altercations between people that can be disturbing to people.
Right. And once again, if we talk about the language, this is how teenagers talk about
right.
this stuff.
Right.
I mean, when I hear my teenagers talk, they are more casual.
Right.
It's not, they're not being disrespectful. They're simply more casual about this
mm-hmm.
than we are.
Right.
And it's how they talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice that they're very casual about it.
Right.
Because that's how teenagers discuss these topics.
Right.
It's in a very casual, nonchalant way.
Right.
My daughter said, yeah, that's what happens. Somebody mm-hmm. got raped and it was all very matter of fact.
Right. Yeah. And so you experience those things through the eyes of our main characters. And again, the producers and directors, they really don't pull any punches with
right.
some of it. You clearly know what's going on. There's no nudity. There's nothing graphic from that perspective.
Right.
But there's no doubt what's happening.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So there's that piece.
And you see it from that perspective.
Right.
And I think that's what is unsettling to some parents is, but that's, it is faithful to the perspective
mm-hmm.
of a teenager.
Right.
I mean, that's what they're trying to portray
right.
here.
Right. So, and then finally the third, it's not really a spoiler, but it's just a thing that we would encourage you to be mindful of before you watch the program is that there's not a lot of breakaways. And so again,
mm-hmm.
we know that the culmination of this whole thing is that this girl commits suicide.
Right.
And in relatively good detail, it presents
graphic.
That.
It's graphic. Yes, it
yeah.
is. It's not some people are troubled and they refer to it as an instruction manual on how to commit suicide.
Right.
I'm not sure that I would go that far, but
right.
I understand why some people might.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Noreen just wrote in the chat that, so maybe it should be X-rated since kids today are so expansive with their vocabulary and experiences and stuff as compared to the way that it was, you mm-hmm. know, maybe, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. And it's, I think that the way that I would say, because parents have certainly asked whether or not they should allow their kids to watch it, and I'm always a little bit torn because on one hand, as soon as you say no, the kids are going to find a way to watch
right.
it. You know, that's, we know that that's the case, typically. But it's sort of so mixed because you don't, you see things, but it's not like you see things.
But X-rated would mean what?
Well, X-rated would include nudity and all of that. And it would include...
But what's the restriction?
No one below the age of 17 is allowed to watch it.
It's on Netflix.
Right. Right. Well, there's a lot of things on Netflix that are NC-17 or X-rated.
And if kids want to watch it, they can.
Well, they could. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, all they need is the code to get in.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's the other problem here.
Yeah.
But I agree with Noreen.
Yeah.
That, yeah, I think that might be a possible solution. And again, it warns parents that
right.
this, the X says more than MA.
Right.
Okay. So it does alert parents
right.
that this might be far more than they want their children to watch.
Right.
The problem is, how do you prevent them from watching it? And
right.
and we'll talk about that
right.
in a minute.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you do prevent. In this technological
yeah, I think it's difficult because they if they don't have access at your house, they'll have access at someone else's house.
A friend of ours, her daughter is 12.
Mm-hmm. Right.
13. She's 13. And she watched it at somebody else's house.
Right.
She watched it without her parents' knowledge.
Right.
And happened to mention it. You know, her mother was talking about it. And she said, oh, yeah, we saw that at so-and-so's house.
Right.
In a very nonchalant way.
Yeah.
And her mother about lost it because she had no idea that her
right.
daughter had seen it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's going to be difficult to prevent it.
Right.
And so it may be better to have a conversation than it would be to try to prohibit.
Right. Right. I think our parental energy should go into helping your child deal with it, process right. it, understand it, rather than preventing it. Because I do, my opinion is there's no way you can prevent it. If your child wants to watch it, he or she is going to find a way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just too easy.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, all right. So those are just some of the warnings. I don't know. Warning doesn't sound like the right word. Just some things to be mindful of. If you haven't yet watched the program, and you're going to, or you intend to, those are just some things to keep in mind. Because if you have a background or history of any type of trauma, of any type of abuse or assaults or anything like that, you may experience some triggers by watching this program.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. If you have some trauma, or if somebody else you know has some, they might struggle with some scenes, some of the graphic content.
So I would just be mindful of it. Mm-hmm. That said, I thought it was I think it's a great show. I think it's important for people to watch, and we're going to get into some of the reasons why. But I wouldn't, after all that we said here, I certainly wouldn't want anybody to be discouraged from watching it.
No.
Unless there's some concern that it's going to trigger some type of traumatic response or something like that. Because some of the things, as we're going through the program over the course of the next few events that we're going to do, there are some really important things that I think that parents should be mindful of.
Right.
Not just parents, but even, I mean, to some extent, even teenagers should be mindful of as we go through some of these episodes.
Yeah, a few minutes ago, we talked about that perspective of the teenager.
Right.
And I think one of the first things that I really appreciate, you and I spend time with teenagers. Mm-hmm. We spend time in schools.
Right.
You're a coach of teenagers. So you hear this, you and I hear this language all the time.
Right.
But if you're raising teenagers for the first time and you haven't been in a public school for 12 or 15 years, it would be worth watching just to know what your children, this is how conversations occur in schools today, in and out of schools today.
Right.
And so if for no other reason, it's informative.
Right.
And I really like the teenager's perspective. It's not an adult making judgment or an adult sensationalizing it. It's from that teenager's perspective. And that's what I appreciated.
Right.
You know, it really gave you that. This is how teenagers see the world.
Right. What's fascinating, and as we start transitioning into, you know, how to handle some things if mm-hmm. your teenager has watched it,
right.
What I have found to be fascinating is that some of the teenagers that I've talked to who have seen
it,
as soon as they mention it, I'm thinking, my initial thinking is, oh my gosh, not you. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're dealing with depression and we're dealing with mm-hmm. all kinds of things. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be we're going to really have to get into this. And they did not respond in the way that I anticipated in any way. And it's just like, yeah, you know, it was really good. I mean, it was sad, you know, that kind of connection to it, but it wasn't any of the things that we have been warned of.
It wasn't a strong emotional response.
Right.
I had one student who happens to know about film, and he was completely objective about it. He just saw it from sort of a critic's vantage point,
right.
Talked about the good points and the weak points, and he's a teenager, and mm-hmm. it wasn't an emotional experience at all for him.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So let's move into what to do if your teen has watched it, or your child has watched it, or wants to watch it. Wait, what? You're pausing.
What to do and what not to do.
That's right. Absolutely.
If he or she has already seen it.
Okay, so let's start with that one. What do you do?
To do and what not to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what to do, let's talk about what to do if they have already seen it.
Right.
Okay? Don't freak out.
That's what not to do.
That is what not to do.
Right. So we'll start with what not to do.
Wait.
If your child has already seen it, these are the things you shouldn't do.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. I got it.
And once you haven't done those things, then we can go on to what you should do.
Okay. You tricked me there. Your words kind of...
Well, I know you're excited.
You're messing with me, man.
No,
you're messing with me.
I know you're excited.
So, all right. So what not to do? Don't freak out. Can I say it there?
Good.
Don't freak out.
Perfect timing.
So you want to be cautious not to overreact.
Do not overreact, please.
Because, again, if they've already watched it, okay, they've already watched it. So there's not going to be any additional damage done.
That's right.
Right now. So
if damage has been done, it's been done.
Okay. Right. So,
but my guess is it hasn't been done.
Right.
Because you didn't know.
Right. Okay. Right. So if you have to stay calm because, well, that's the other part that you're wanting to separate these two things, because one of the things you will do is have a conversation, but we'll get to that part in just a second.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. So don't freak out, because as soon as you freak out, it's going to push them away, and they're going to resist talking to you, and they're not going to want to have any interaction with it at all.
If this becomes an admonition, if this becomes a criticism, if this becomes a threat in any way, they are going to clam up.
Right.
And exactly the opposite of what you want is going to occur.
Right.
They're going to talk about, if they're going to talk about this, I would like for them to talk to you about it.
Exactly.
Not their friends, not strangers.
Right.
I'd like for them to talk to you about it.
Right.
But they're only going to talk to you if you allow them to.
Right. So.
So don't overreact.
Don't overreact. I almost said another thing to do.
And don't make it about obedience.
Right.
You know, many parents have said, I've told you you're not allowed to do this sort of thing.
Right.
Okay. That's making it an obedience issue. Okay. And
right.
I would encourage you not to make this a defiance or a disobedience issue.
Right. So what we're getting to there is, do not punish because they watch this program.
Right. Absolutely.
The popularity that this program has gained alone is going to encourage them to watch it. I mean, they're going to want to be part of the crowd who has seen it. So, you know, for many kids, that's the only reason that they're watching it. So don't punish. Don't be punitive. Don't overreact. And like you said, don't turn it into a compliance thing, because it's not a compliance thing.
Yeah. When this first hit, many parents were calling. They wanted to know what other parental controls they could put on their devices so that their children couldn't do this.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about this. You're never going to stay ahead of your children. They are always going, this is just too accessible.
Right.
It's too easy to get to. And you're not going to control it by shutting it down.
Right. And let's be honest, if they were watching probably any other program, you wouldn't react that way. Mm-hmm. And so we're reacting that way because of the content, and I get that. But, you know, there's lots of TVMA programs on Netflix that you would probably be just fine with your teenager watching.
Right.
And so this one is getting a lot of press, chatter about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're going to have that tendency or that urge to react. And so I just kind of encourage you not to overreact.
And if you imagine your children going to school the next day and you know, how do you want your child to go to school the next day to say, oh, I'm put on restriction now because I watched this? Or would you rather your child go to school and say, oh man, I really had a great conversation with my parents about this last night?
Right.
Which would you prefer? Which do you want to have happen with your children?
Right.
That they go and announce how they were punished or that they had a really great conversation with their parents?
Right. So this is getting us into what you should do.
Right.
Right? See?
Okay.
I waited. So you should have a conversation with your child about this. And a conversation where you listen more than you talk.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Because, you know, Noreen just wrote, I love it that Noreen's
Noreen,
here
do you ever come to Florida?
We need to visit.
You should come and visit.
But she said, as we've talked about before, talking about suicide does not introduce the idea of suicide.
Precisely.
And so you can have a conversation with your child about this. You can have an open conversation, an open dialogue about this without the anxiety of, well, if I talk to him about it, you know, it's going to make him think about it more. It's going to make him want to do it. And that we know that that's just simply not the case.
That's not the case, right.
So so having an open dialogue, and this is why, you know, all the things that you're not supposed to do that we're encouraging you not to do, this is why it's so important not to do those things, because you want to be able to have a conversation.
Right.
That conversation is going to allow them to process it. Some of the content of the program, we've already kind of alluded to this, but you know, there's a lot of talk about bullying in this. That's sort of the crux of the whole thing.
Right.
Is that they're saying that she was bullied.
That's
and,
the thread holding the whole thing together.
Right.
Is that she was physically, verbally, and emotionally bullied.
Right.
Abused.
Right. And so that is an important topic for teenagers today. Right. It's an important topic for teenagers. It's an important topic for middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, it's an important topic for even elementary school.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. so it's not, I'm certainly not saying that you should sit down with your 8-year-old and watch this program.
No.
However, you want to be able to have a dialogue and an open opportunity to talk with your kids about some of these issues mm-hmm. so that they feel like, hey, mom, hey, dad is an okay person for me to talk to about these things.
I can talk about
them. They're not going to freak out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and I don't have to worry about retribution. I don't have to worry about being punished. I can discuss these things. I mean, we want our children to discuss all the things that they're doing, whether it's this or sex or drinking or drugs. Mm-hmm. I want my children to be able to come and talk to me about these things.
Right.
And if it's forbidden, period, mm-hmm. even to talk about, they're not going to talk to me, but they're going to talk to somebody.
Right.
I would rather they talk to us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you do that. There's some pretty straightforward ways to do that. Now, certainly, the way in which your teenager is going to talk to you is going to be dependent upon your history.
Right.
If you have a history of freaking out, it's going to be, you got an uphill battle.
Right.
Right. But if you have a history where you have demonstrated to your teenager that you can sit down and have a conversation with them without overreacting, without slamming them mm-hmm. because they said that they, you know, did something that they shouldn't have done.
Right.
Because doing things that they shouldn't do is what teenagers do. If you have demonstrated to them that they can come to you and talk to you about those things, you're in great shape, you know? So sitting down, you know, depending on your child, you don't necessarily want to make this a big production. Mm-hmm. You know what? We need to sit down and have a conversation.
Right.
You know, that sounds too serious.
They're going to run the other way.
They're going to be very turned off by that. So, you know, this is a conversation. This should be like a casual conversation.
Right.
Whether it's on your way when you're driving to the store or something, when you're just, you know, if you go for walks or anything like that, this is just a casual conversation.
Yeah. A rule of thumb in these kinds of conversations is let your child set the emotional tone.
Right.
If your child is excited, go ahead. If your child is nonchalant, mm-hmm. then do that. But let your try as hard as you can to inhibit your own emotions and let your child's emotions control and guide the conversation.
Right.
And then you're going to get a real conversation,
right?
A give and take. Otherwise, you're going to start lecturing and they're just going to listen.
Right.
And they're going to shut down and walk away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that open dialogue is going to be guided and driven by your teenager. Let them set the pace for it.
Right. Don't you can ask questions. You can ask the questions that you want to guide the conversation, but the content and particularly the emotional tone should be driven by the child.
Right. And use something that parents oftentimes resist the tendency to do is communicate freely with their teenager. Right. You know, when I'm talking with my kids and, you know, I love it that my teenagers will talk with me sometimes, not always, but sometimes they'll talk with me mm-hmm. and, you know, they'll say something. And I'll say, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How, you know, what did you do?
Right.
You know, I'm communicating with them in a way that says, you know, I'm here with you.
Right.
I'm listening. I'm
hearing you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just be engaged with them in that way, because, you know, if you sit, you know, coldly and you sit, mm-hmm. you know, all parentified
with your preachy hat on.
Yeah.
You know, I have to give you a lecture. This has to be a teachable moment.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of ways to teach and you don't have to be the teacher.
No. The lecturer.
You don't have to be the lecturer to be able to teach. Mm-hmm. So, definitely let your child guide a lot of that.
Right.
So another thing is to be cognizant and process the program with your child. Mm-hmm. You know, there are several, as we go through the different episodes over the course of the next few weeks, and we'll kind of talk about the schedule that we're going to follow here in a few minutes. But as we go through the different episodes, one of the things you want to do is sit down with your child and talk about some of these really key points. Mm-hmm. For example, in the very first episode, what you're going to find is that Hannah, she was new to the school.
Right.
And so she, you know, she's the new girl in the school. She's trying to get to know people. This guy seems like a nice guy. He's a nice looking guy. He asks her out. And so they go and they're hanging out and everything. And, you know, he takes a picture of her that ends up being a little bit more revealing than she thought that it was, or probably that he even thought that it was going to be. And then ends up getting passed around.
Yeah.
Now, the unfortunate thing is that's not uncommon.
Nope.
There are, I mean, just this school year alone, mm-hmm. I know that between the two of us, we've probably talked to a half dozen or a dozen schools who have had this exact issue,
right,
where students are passing around, sending around pictures, inappropriate pictures of students. And that includes middle schools and high schools.
Right. That's right.
So those mm-hmm. kinds of things happen. So talking to your teenager mm-hmm. or even preteen, depending on how you're managing it with your child, talking with them about that, you know, talking with them about how to handle if such pictures have been taken of you, but also if they are the photographer, you know, if you are, you know, hanging out with somebody and you take a picture and you end up with a picture that just caught it at just the right moment when it was mm-hmm. a little bit more revealing than everybody thought, there's an appropriate way and an inappropriate way to handle that.
That's right. How do you handle those things?
Right.
Because it could easily happen. You know, when Tim Tebow was at the University of Florida, he mm-hmm. always went out, somebody else was always with him, so that people wouldn't take his picture, because they could have taken his picture, photoshopped it, and put him in a very compromising position.
Right.
So you learn how to take, you learn how right. to protect yourself, but you learn by having these conversations.
Right.
You know, so teach your kids how to handle these situations that will probably inevitably arise.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. So talking with your child, and again, about them very specifically, don't, we dance too much. I think parents, we tend to dance too much, and we avoid, and we want to be careful, and we want to kind of sneak around and everything. Just talk about
it.
Just say it.
Pretend you're, say it.
Yeah. It's okay. They'll be fine. Yeah.
That's how they're talking about it.
Believe me. They're talking about it at school pretty openly.
And using the same graphic language.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, all right. Any other strategies for mm-hmm. now? The last piece is if your teenager wants to watch it, but hasn't seen it yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we sort of began this with the idea that, you know, of what you should be prepared for if you are going to view this program.
Right.
Same kind of warnings. But again, you don't want to, you know, again, as soon as you say no, there's the risk that they're going to find a way.
Right.
So you don't want to say no, but you might want to set some parameters. You may want to set parameters such as you can watch it, but let's watch it together.
Right.
And what that means, parents, you watch it first and then watch it a second time with them.
Right.
All right. So you know what to expect. You know what's coming. Right. So you don't respond or react at times and or in ways that mm-hmm. that are going to be that are going to turn your teenager off to viewing it with you. So watch it first without necessarily, you know, you don't have to broadcast that you're watching it first, though. This is just
watch it while they're in school.
This is just between us.
Or out of the house. You know, they're...
Yeah. Yeah. You could do that. Sure.
When they're gone.
Yeah.
They don't even have to know that you're watching it. But yes, I would, because you don't want any surprises.
Right.
And you know your child better than anybody. So now you're prepared to watch it with them. And you don't have to say... They don't have to know that you watched it,
right?
But you know what's coming, and you can handle their reaction,
right?
Because you know where those scenes are,
right?
And you're going to be able to handle their reaction better if you know what's coming,
right? And really, most of the program is or the series is pretty manageable up until about the last three, maybe four episodes.
That's right.
And that's when it starts to there starts to be a few more things that you start seeing some teen drinking. Some substance use, and
which you should also be talking to your teenager about.
Right.
It gives you a forum.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So allow the viewing with some parameters, mm-hmm. but that is also with the caveat that your child is ready.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about 10-year-olds. We're not talking about 11-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Maybe 13 or 14, but I don't know that I would be. I think I would be a little more resistant if my child is younger. Now, the reality is that you're probably not getting a whole lot of 10-year-olds asking to watch it. Right. Because, you know, it's a
unless there was siblings.
Right. Unless they're spending time with a lot older
people. I did talk to one parent whose daughter is 12.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they watched it. 12, I think, is the cusp. Mm-hmm. Some 12-year-olds can. Some 12-year-olds could care less. They're simply not interested in it. 12-year-old would be about 6th or 7th grade. Mm-hmm. And there are 6th or 7th graders who probably should watch this. Not they might want to, but I think maybe they should watch it.
Right.
And there should be a discussion because they may be engaged. In 7th or 8th grade, they could well be engaged in some of these behaviors. Yeah. Not all of them are.
Yeah.
So you have to know your child. I mean, there are some 6th graders who are still interested in baby dolls. And there are some 6th graders who are interested in dating.
Right.
You have to know which 6th grader you have.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point, Richard, because, you know, I have certainly talked to middle schoolers who are engaging in sexual activity at school.
They're already
at school.
Right. Right.
And it's as remarkable as it sounds and unbelievable as it sounds, it is happening.
When did you first start smoking weed? Oh, I don't know, 13, 14.
Yeah.
You know, they started smoking weed when they were 13, started drinking when I was 13 or 14. Yeah. And so.
Yeah. It's funny because when they say something teen, you think, okay, he was a teenager, right. But you don't really think that, well, at 13, he was in middle school.
Right. That's right. Right.
That's pretty.
That's right. Oof. And many do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, I've known many, many. I mean, we see children, teenagers all the time who began drinking and doing drugs in their early teen years.
Right. Right.
But many don't.
Right.
And so if your child is not interested, it's not something you want to force.
Right.
There's no point in forcing them to watch this. But if you think that they might be interested, it would be a good thing to watch together.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely watching it together. And again, but all that stuff about not freaking out, not overreacting, all that stuff still applies.
Still applies, regardless of age.
And, you know, again, the open conversation. Wow, that sucked that happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just having an open conversation because that's, you know, that's how they talk.
Right.
So
that's right.
All right. Anything else you want to bring up?
No, I don't think.
What do your notes say?
But I have to check my notes.
You do have to check your notes.
Yeah.
You can always tell because he puts his glasses on.
I can't read. You know, my eyes are.
See, people are watching live now, so they can see.
It's okay. I look better. I don't know. I need new glasses. Yep.
That's everything?
We did it.
Okay. So that is a wrap for today. For our first introduction to this series that we're going to do. So if you... Well, it should say this in the in our YouTube in the show notes for this YouTube post that will go up, but also it will say we'll have it posted out on social media on Facebook and on, I'll put it out on Twitter as well and everything. But we are going to over the next few weeks we're going to have a session each week where we talk about a couple of episodes.
Right.
Now the way that the story goes. Is that, again, there's these cassette tapes, old school cassette tapes.
We know about those.
Yeah. They're not 8-track. They're cassette tapes.
That was before 8-track.
That's right. They're not reel-to-reel.
There we go.
Driving around in a car with a reel-to-reel.
Right.
Oh, that would be funny. You got me off track. But... So over the course of the next 7 weeks, we're going to go through the 7 tapes. Mm-hmm. So next week we are going to cover tape 1, which is basically numbers 1 and 2.
Right.
So it'd be episodes 1 and 2 from the program. And that is going to be, now we're doing this on Thursday. That program is going to be next Monday, May the 1st at 6:30 p.m.
So if you haven't watched it,
you have the weekend.
Carve out some time over the next 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, over the weekend, try to watch the first couple of episodes, and so we'll come back and we'll have a conversation about them. We're going to take some. I'm going to watch them again because there's some notes that I really want to get down because there are some really fantastic some fantastic psychological principles that are presented in here so well and sometimes so subtly. Mm-hmm. And I really want to highlight them for you so that you can see them, because I think that they, again, a recurring theme is that the actors and actresses and the director and everybody did a wonderful job of depicting what is pretty close to reality for most of these guys. So, so that's going to be May 1st. So that's Monday evening at 6:30 Eastern time. And then again, the remaining tapes will be, we'll kind of post when those will be out. So it's going to go Monday, then the next Thursday. We have to kind of switch it around because of the way that our schedules are, and we wanted to really get in there and
get started
with it. So, okay. So my eyes keep getting drawn over to the chat. Noreen's asking questions about things. So this here is a bookend turtle, because I like turtles, and I'm not sure the blue thing. There's a blue soccer ball a blue TARDIS.
It's the TARDIS. Does she?
Doctor Who is my Doctor Who TARDIS.
TARDIS is a.
Yeah.
It's a, like a phone booth.
Yeah, it's a phone box,
right.
Police box.
Well, not everybody knows what a TARDIS is. You know, when we drive down the road and you see the first time I saw it, my other car is a TARDIS.
Uh-huh. You didn't get that?
Didn't have a clue.
No? Well,
didn't have a clue because I never watched Doctor Who. I didn't know what a TARDIS was.
Bow ties are cool. That's from Doctor Who.
See?
There you go. All right. See,
he's easy to lose, isn't he?
I get off track sometimes. So, all right. But that's it for today, right? Mm-hmm. The next couple events, they may last a little bit longer. They may last about this long, may last a little bit longer. Kind of depends on how the conversation goes. Right. We had a pretty good number of viewers today. We had between 6 and 8 or so viewers. So that's fantastic. We would love for you to share this with your friends so that they can join in. Noreen has done a wonderful job sharing some ideas. She mentioned so many things that were really important points to pull up. So we encourage everybody to
be critics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So let's bring this together.
Yeah.
So let us know. Let us know what we can do better.
Yes.
So if you don't like us, tell us. If you do like us, tell your friends.
Richard, I have something to tell you.
No.
You're my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So that is it for today. Thank you so much for joining us on our very first live broadcast.
Foray.
And we will be sure to do many, many more of these. So, all right. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Mm-hmm.